I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
Hey everyone, I'm Rachel Goodman, and we're here to discuss the final Narcos Mexico Season 2 episode. It was absolutely crazy. Be sure to stay tuned, because at the end of discussing the episode, we're going to talk about our special Narcos segment discussing what actually happened versus what is fiction, and we're going to do some predictions. But joining me today, we've got Liz Pina, our Spanglish expert.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
And we've got Rob Stiles, our filmmaker.
Yes, I am here.
Yes, you're here. All right. Well, we're all here, and it's time to jump in and just kind of talk about this. We start with the Colombian drug bust of 89. And to me, that hit very close to home because it was in Sylmar, and which is not that far from us.
Yeah, I mean, it's like right around the corner almost.
Yeah. Especially, yeah. I live in the Valley, so that is not that far from me. And it's, I mean, here in LA. So, but yeah, just to hear about this drug bust and to hear that it was the Colombians who were the most affected by this because it was their shipment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty tough watching the whole gang like just get, you know, locked up and... due to Felix, you know, giving information on that.
I felt like
snitches, you know, at that moment where I was like, why would he do that?
Well, yeah. And I think it made sense to me. I kind of knew from the beginning, as soon as we saw this go down, Felix, who was in charge of the shipment, I assumed that he had something to do with Pacho getting busted. Mm-hmm. And not poor Pacho, because Pacho, it was like a flip of that power dynamic, because a couple episodes ago, it was Pacho coming in and basically saying, oh no, like Don Juan, he's not working with you. Mm-hmm. But now we have this flip where Pacho is practically begging Felix to help him. And I actually felt happy that Felix was able to say, oh no, I'm not helping you.
Yes, the tables definitely turned, because it was Felix earlier, you know, in the same position. But before that, I want to talk about the bust just 1 second, because there's a cool thing, since I'm the filmmaker expert, there's a cool thing that's going on there with camera movement and a shot. So whenever the gentleman walks out of the house, when he walks out of the drug warehouse, they stay with him, and it's like a one shot. And you see him walking from this area across the street to go get some more beers. And while this is happening, there's a bust going on, and the camera stays with him and goes right back out. And I think it's cool. I really think it's cool, because, you know, just to see him drop the beer and walk off like there's no problem.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so
okay.
Yeah, it was on funny. Point. Yeah. Like everything they were wearing, I was like, yeah, that looks like Sylmar. Like, you know? At first, I was a little confused. I was like, wait, this looks like it's in Mexico. Like, you know, because you still have like the Mexicans handling the product. But it gave me vibes of like, oh, you know, these people are undocumented. You know, they're trying to make money.
Right.
And sadly, like, yeah, the rest got busted while this guy just runs away, which is hilarious.
Yeah. And it felt like 90s to me, too. I mean, I know 89, but I felt like when we're in Mexico, it's harder for me. I mean, the music makes it obvious. This is 80s. But when we get to the scene with the drug bust, with the cop and with the kid in the convenience store, I was like, okay, this feels definitely like, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And we really, like, it really just felt like just the way that, you know, the clothing that everybody was wearing and just the way, just the reactions. It just felt very, like, you know, I could just feel that we were taken back in time. So... kind of going off of that, so at first it feels like Felix does have the upper hand. We know from episode 9 that it seemed like he was rising up and that he was going to keep control of the plazas because he had managed to ship 70 tons in one night. Mm-hmm. But that does not, like, right up at the top of the episode, for maybe the very beginning, it seemed like Felix was going to be his time to shine. But really quickly, we go from the scene with Pacho to seeing that Felix is getting kicked out of his house after what he did to Palma's wife.
Yeah, I mean, I side with her, you know.
Yeah.
She finally, like, tells him to leave, and it was kind of crazy, you know, her pointing the knife at him and actually, you know, like taking a little stab or something.
Yeah, she cut him.
Yeah,
she cut him.
That was pretty crazy. But finally, like, you see her taking control of the situation. Mm-hmm. So she's letting him know, you know, you're not the one in charge, especially of this family. And I'm proud of her. I'm so happy to see her, like, protecting her family, which is what she should do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the streets, and that's one thing we learn, you know, the streets definitely talk. And when innocent mother and children are killed, yes, that's going to get back to everyone and gets back to his wife. And his wife, you know, being a mother, and, you know, that is devastating for her, because like, that could be her in some, like, in some reality.
Blood in her hands.
Yes. Yeah. And just to think that, you know, you think you know your husband, your wives, and something like this happens, it shows that you really don't know them as well as you think.
Well, the worst part is that it was Don Juan, and we had seen him from the last episode, you know, reacting to Felix's successes. And in this episode, it was like right off the bat, we hear Don Juan spreading about Palma and spreading what Felix had done. Mm-hmm. So it's very, like, it gets back to Maria very quickly. And just this idea that there are certain things that it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a cartel or if you're running this kind of operation. Mm-hmm. There are certain things you don't do morally. Yeah. And going and killing his wife, Palma's wife, and his kids, didn't even get Palma, but killing the wife and the children. I was very happy to see her stand her ground, because in another world, like, yeah, this could be her, and this could be Felix doing this to her if he could do it to somebody else's wife and kids.
And did you guys catch how Clavel was the one that killed her, the one that she was having an affair with?
Yeah, yes. We did.
That was so, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, but it was heartbreaking because she was going to try to end it too, and then all of a sudden he was like, I'm sorry, I have to do this, and shot her. I didn't think he'd be able to do it.
No. What if she didn't end it, though? What with Clavel?
I think he still would have shot her. I had this feeling. Yeah. I don't think it was about her ending it. I think it was just that he was, like, I had a really bad vibe when he picked the kids up with her that he was going to kill her.
Yeah, yeah. I figured that, or deliver her to someone who would be doing the killing.
Yeah,
I didn't expect him to do it. I thought he had too much of a tie with her emotionally to do it, but
maybe he just figured that if he doesn't do it, that Felix is a much more powerful man and he will get him.
Yeah, it's almost like he had no choice. Yeah. At that point. And he said that too. He's all like, I have no choice.
Right. Yeah. And I would take a step, you know, or this is probably me reaching a little bit, but part of me thinks that Felix knew about that affair, and he held that over him. And it's more of a either you do this or I'm going to kill you, you don't do this or Palma's going to kill you kind of thing. I mean, who knows?
But I really think he messed up. I mean, obviously why he got locked up. He wanted to prove that he was, you know, someone to be feared, and especially with the cartel having to meet up and everything.
Yeah.
It was like obviously sending a message, but he played his cards wrong, honestly. Like, it was almost like you did this so you can make more money, but at the same time, like, there's no money coming already from the shipment that got Yeah.
What this episode is basically saying is that Felix made two very bad moves. I think that the Plazas were going to try to oust him anyway, but his worst moves were having it set up so that the Colombians, that there was a bust, and calling it in, and killing Palma's wife, or even trying to go after Palma, I think, was a death sentence.
Yeah.
But just the fact that he would do these two things, when he meets with the different factions, they already were having issues with him this whole entire season. I feel like there was a lot of things bubbling to the surface, especially with Amato, who didn't want to say anything directly, but I could tell from the scenes we saw him and from his very, like, subtle facial reactions that he was starting to grow very disgusted with Felix. So these two things, I think, brought it to the bubbling point. And so when we had this moment with the Plazas, I felt like that's exactly where we were going with it, that they were gonna end up ousting him.
Yes.
How did you guys feel about this?
Definitely with how it ended with what's his name, Pablo Costa.
Yeah,
the way he told Amado, like, you know, make sure you take Felix out when you know it's the right time.
Yeah.
So that always stuck to me. I was like, you know, Amado will, like, somehow, you know, make his way to the top. And I didn't see him doing it in a vicious way or the way, like, Felix moves. I felt like he's more of a man with, like, a strong mindset, morals, and all that. Yeah, like, he's, like, laid back and chill, but, like you said, you know, watch out for Amado.
Yes, and yeah. I do like how when the Federation was ending, each boss of each plaza leaving, and the last one that was left was Amado, because there had to be a showdown between those two. There had to be, you know, some people call it come to Jesus talk, but there had to be a little come to Jesus talk between Amado and Felix. And just like when he was saying, you know, he basically said, I knew that it would be you to do this, but I didn't know when. And he and Amado was saying, it's because I was trying to figure out, like you said, the right time and when to do it exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think that Amado leaving last is very powerful, because he's one of the first that was with him in the beginning, and he is the last one to leave him.
Yeah. And we've got Aguilar, we've got Benjamin, we've got Chapo, Azul, all these people, like especially Azul. We were seeing near the end how Azul was starting to really question Felix.
Mm-hmm. Throwing like his two cents in a little too much.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that, it was very obvious near the end that Azul was growing very impatient and unhappy with the way Felix was handling certain things. But in the beginning of the season, Azul seemed to be one of his like most trusted companions.
Yes.
Yeah. But El Pacho, or not El Pacho, Pacho. If you guys, I'm just thinking of that very first episode of season two where at the party, Pacho arrives. He's talking to Felix, and one of the things he says to Felix is, "You should be careful with the people you trust, because the people around you, they're not as trustworthy as what you think." And so I feel like it all comes back to that moment of that. And like, it's funny because the tiger, like, I don't think I'll ever forget that scene in the first episode where the basically, I feel like Felix was looking at himself and looking at this powerful creature being tied up and with no ability to really, you know, do what the tiger wanted to do, because he was just trapped and locked up. And so I feel like in a way now we're seeing all of that come to light, and we're seeing how Felix, even though he wasn't like he was doing the things that he believed he should do, but now everybody is turning against him and walking away, and it's leaving him literally the same as that tiger, where he's chained up and has nowhere to go.
It's funny the way we compare like the first episode versus the last, that he's now the tiger that's like locked in.
Yeah.
And his friends are still, you know, out there and partying.
His friends who Pacho warned at the beginning were not really his friends. Even Azul.
They're all out of control.
I think, and Azul is like, you know, was one of the closest ones to him. And I think the last straw for Azul, you know, we see him questioning, you know, getting out of line a little bit. But I think the last straw for Azul is the killing of the wife and the kids.
Yeah.
And whenever the order is put in to do that, he says, "I have an idea how to handle Palma." We don't see him say it, nor do we see Azul's reaction to it.
Yeah.
So that, I think that would have gave away a little bit, because I don't think Azul would have been, I think he would have really, you know, his poker face wouldn't have worked in that situation.
Exactly. I agree with that. And, it kind of, I think that the way that they withheld a lot of things with Azul, I think makes it more interesting that he would kind of out of the blue say, "Oh, I'm not going to join with you anymore. I'm done." But still, I think there are enough hints throughout the season that it makes sense. It's not like, what? Like, it still makes sense to his character, but they did not show us every little thing. Same thing with Amado. I think it was obvious that Chapo and the Felix family were going to leave.
Dying to just find a way out. I just want to highlight this part when Amado leaves, or right before he leaves, how Felix just says, and we're not supposed to say it, but chinga tu madre. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was so hilarious. I was like, why would he say this? But at the same time, it's like, he said it in such a calm way almost that it was like, if this is to be translated, it just doesn't sound as funny in Spanish. So,
can you translate?
Okay, so that just means F your mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's almost, but he said it like, F your mother. Like, you know, it just sounds so hilarious. Like, the way he just said it, like, all, like, creepishly. But yeah, it was like the perfect ending to that. But at the same time, it's like, I like also how Amado was all like, so you might as well start running now, but you know that's not going to do you any good. And it's right. Like, you know, at this point, like, yeah, you're screwed, Felix. And it's all going down after that.
And that's a good point, because the next thing we see is that Felix is legitimately sitting in his house drinking alcohol, mm-hmm. and they show up to arrest him.
And it was like without any gunshots or any hard arrests. So that was
obviously Felix knew, like, he's just having his last good drink, whatever he was drinking before. Before actually being brought to this other place.
He still tried to bribe him subtly, though. He said, "There's like some money here. You can have it." He didn't even move it. There's money in here.
And it was cool that it was Calderoni that arrested him, and he brought Breslin over to see it, which was pretty dope.
Yeah, so that's, okay, so let's talk about that next. So we know that there were kind of two things that happened. We'll talk about what ends up happening with the Plazas at the end, because they kind of came together in a new unit, but we'll talk about that next. First, let's talk about Breslin and everything that kind of happened with him and Felix, because to me, this was my favorite part of the finale of the season, was seeing Felix and Breslin actually talk. Mm-hmm. Now, what interests me is that Breslin is actually not a real person. He is completely fictitious, and so obviously this did not happen. And then also the showrunner, Eric Newman, has even said that 50% of the show is just fiction. So knowing all that, like, I understand that this is not a real moment, but it was still, I felt like we had our two main characters actually talking after all this time, because we know we've heard Breslin as the narrator even of season one. So this to me was very powerful, seeing the way that Felix would not really offer up much information, and seeing like their facial reactions is kind of what, sometimes Breslin dominated the scene, sometimes it was Felix. But I think ultimately Felix had the upper hand. How did you guys think about that?
Especially, the way he left. I felt like he did. And he makes a lot of sense. I know both of you can agree. We were talking about how he's right with the fact that, you know, the cage is now open. All the animals are going to be wild and let out in the city. So it's he's right. You know, he was the one that controlled everything. We want to see him in control, but at the same time, he's already crossed too many boundaries. Like, he's crossed a lot of lines. It's too much, where it's like, damned if he didn't and damned if he did. I do hope to see, I'm going to the next season, but I do hope to see more Felix in the next season.
And I, with the whole thing, you know, this whole season we've been talking about power struggles within scenes, power dynamics in scenes, and we get to see it one last time, you know, because whenever Breslin, you know, wants information and he gets up to leave and Felix just sits there. And it's like, well, he doesn't get up to leave. He says he's going to leave, but doesn't. And Felix calls him out on that. You know, you said you're going to leave. And the one cool thing that I thought, you know, and this, the director here with letting Diego Luna do this, you know, or coaching him to channel this, the way that he delivers the line, you know, the lines, is with this smug look on his face. You know, you're going to miss me. You're going to miss someone like me. You're going to see, like you said, you're going to see what it's like when the cage breaks open and the animals run free. Like, and the way he delivers that with this smugness, even when the picture, you know, with the picture of Kiki, he's like, you know, this guy wasn't your friend, you know, like, and just all of this, the way he does it, so subtle and smug and just sitting there, even though he's in a cage, he just does it. He's content with the torture that has happened to Breslin, and how he's basically telling Breslin that he did all this for nothing, because now you guys were after one person, now you're after a whole bunch of people.
And one of the things that Felix really stresses, and this is, he plays dumb on everything else, but the only thing he stresses is that there's going to be some fighting between the Sinaloans and the Felix family. That's the only thing he tells him. But just the way, like you said, like very smugly, Felix just kind of, I think Felix knew, like Felix knew that he wasn't the person who needed to be there. It was, or sorry, the other way around, that Breslin was not the person who needed to be there, that Breslin needed Felix and not the other way around, because Breslin was the one searching for answers. And I think the thing with Felix is that he could see in Breslin's eyes that he was doing this for another reason, and that he, Breslin, was the one haunted by this, and haunted would be, he would have this ongoing feeling of being haunted. And even Felix even calls him out on it at one point, like, you know, now what are you gonna do? What's your, like, essentially, what's your purpose now, Breslin? I'm here. And he doesn't even, he only says it in such a few amount of words, too, and just the way that he describes, just the way that he kind of calls Breslin out, and the way that Breslin is looking at Felix, you can just see that Breslin isn't going to win, because there's too much darkness inside of him over his brother's death and over whatever else has gone on in his life too that has brought him to this point. And so Breslin, even though he's the one outside of jail, he's right in there with him, because all he's doing is pushing papers. Felix was taken in, but at what cost?
Right.
Yeah.
And Breslin didn't even get to do it, really.
No.
I'm still struggling to understand one of the things Felix said, because I don't know how he meant it. There could be, like, two different ways. Did you guys catch also how he, when he told Breslin, like, or asked him why he's there, and he gave him, like, a shitty answer, like, saying, oh, I think it's, or I like, you know, putting bad guys in jail. But at the same time, so he, you know, he lets him have that upper hand, but then what he says in return is, like, I think you like to, you know, give us putazos, which means, like, beatings, the way that your country normally does.
Yes.
He's all like, because your country just likes to hurt people and break people. And it just made me think, the way that, you know, Mexico is already just pretty bad, corrupted, and it's became just unstabilized ever since, you know, colonization, everything. And it just makes you think, like, so is he trying to explain, like, the reason why Breslin is doing this is because he's like the rest of the white men? Like, is that what he was trying to explain there?
I think he was, or I think he was saying, as far as, like, saying that America has, the hands are bloody as well. Like, it's not all on him. And it's just like, you know, you see something going on over here and you come to break it because you can. It's not because it's like a just thing. That's what I was getting from
that. So I was like, because usually, you know, Americans known for just going to other countries and just, you know, evading and everything. But it's just weird, you know, a little weird to hear him say it, because it's almost like this is still ongoing.
Well, remember before, but remember in episode two prior, episode 7 actually, or 6, Felix goes and meets with the CIA guy on the plane, who was definitely, you know, in the know about the drug trafficking and the sale of arms to the Sandinistas. So this is like Felix is saying these words, you know, and it's with meaning because of what he has seen, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that was how I was taking it, is that he was basically saying that, in a way, America and Mexico are both contributing to this drug war. Not the war itself, but to the actual fact that you need demand. Like, supply and demand is an economic reality. Yeah. And so if there was no demand from the U.S., then there would not be this drug trade. And you can see, like, they're not so much talking about drugs coming into Mexico. They're talking about drugs leaving Mexico and leaving South America and coming to America. And so I think that was the whole point, is that we, like, you know, Americans, like, not us personally, but America in general, that they're part of the reason for all of this criminal activity that's happening. And so I think that's why he was trying to just get that point across, and that Felix is only a product of society and what the demand is.
I mean, 70 tons of cocaine in one night in America. America definitely has a drug problem.
I mean, you know, when I think of the 1980s in America, I think cocaine. So it's like, it is not
And then crack. That was the next one.
Yeah, so. What, like early 90s crack?
But no, late 80s, early 90s. It was, crack and cocaine was running around.
yeah. So, I mean, but that's the whole thing is that I think his point was that I'm only here because of, America, the country that has enabled us to be here.
It just leaves Breslin to have to obviously deal with more issues. But
yeah, because you can stop. Here's the thing. You can stop, the cartel. Well, if you theoretically could stop the cartels, there's still going to be a demand for the drugs.
Yeah.
So it's not really going to do anything. I think that was his point. And also the fact that Breslin himself had done shady things to try to uphold the law and to try and, right a wrong that he believed in.
So, right. And then obviously we know how that ended too with Breslin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But look at it in a whole grand scheme of things. Yeah, think about it. Our DEA was going across borders to prosecute criminals and apprehend criminals in other countries. Mm-hmm. If I were Felix, I would think about it that way. Like, what business would you have coming over here to do that?
Yeah.
You should worry about the criminals in your own country. Why not get them when they're selling the drugs there versus trying to come over here and get me, that to our government.
Yeah. The way I see it too, in a way, it's like America has like the pharmaceutical companies, So it's almost like, I could see how Felix can be like, so you guys are making money off of like drugs here, but yet you're coming into our country to try to not have us sell drugs here, just because we're not doing it legally.
Exactly.
It's almost like, that's why when he said that, like, I think you just like to beat up people, It's almost like you guys like to take and then, take the resource or something, or just, like you said, destabilize it. The country almost. Yeah. And it's just unfair. But I like that this show is showing, so many problems behind the scenes. And it's awesome to, finally get these conversations out there and all that.
Talking about problems, let's touch on the last kind of, this wasn't the last thing that happened in the episode, but something we haven't talked about yet is this reunification of the plazas. Mm-hmm. And what they really did was they showed, I think even Don Juan was in the mix now.
Yeah.
And so what they were trying to show, though, they had Chapo and the Felix family and like the rest of the Sinaloans with Chapo looking across at each other from the bar. And like the whole, to me, it was hilarious that the way that they were narrating it was, oh yes, well, we think that there's going to be peace, but the reality is the war has only just begun, the internal war between the different plaza family, the cartels. So I thought that was that was done very well. And I liked the camera shot of the little subtle, look at each other of they've shook hands, but are they really okay?
No, they're frenemies.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just figured we would mention that. And that being said, I think it's a great time to get to our first special segment, which is where Rob is going to talk about the fact versus fiction in the episode.
Yes. So I have some notes here on my phone. So there's a part where Palma's wife and kids are killed by Clavel. That did not happen. Here's what actually happened. So what happened is that in real life, Clavel and Palma used to run together. They were partners in their drug trade. And Palma went to jail. And while he was in jail, Clavel was hooking up with the wife. They were like a thing. And so after all of that was over, Clavel basically manipulated her into withdrawing $7 million from their bank account. And once he did that, he beheaded her. He beheaded her. And later on, he went to go work for Felix. So that's how they manipulated that. So yes, at one point in time, those two were partners, Felix and Clavel, but Felix did not put in the hit on Palma's wife.
Yeah.
And Clavel was actually from Venezuela as well. He was a Venezuelan drug trafficker.
Which is interesting because we were talking about this before the show, but the very end of the episode, we leave on that note of Palma, who has survived, coming with a bat. and going after Clavel. Well, you know, we actually start to see it, but very gruesome moment. But obviously this did not happen.
Did not happen, guys.
It would have been a cool little revenge scene. But
it would have. But he never, in real life, he never got revenge on him.
Yeah.
So he didn't. No. Okay.
So he went and took out some of Felix's people for that happening, but never got that guy.
Interesting. Well, let's end this episode just by discussing our predictions. We don't know if there's going to be a season 3 for Narcos Mexico. Nothing has been announced, but let's just go through. Rob, what do you think could happen with a season 3?
Okay. So I'll say with the introduction of earlier episodes with Quavo cooking up crack, that's a good way. I think that they could, if they wanted to, go into a Narcos Los Angeles thing, because in that moment of time, one of the biggest traffickers in the world, in America, was Freeway Ricky Ross. And there is a huge story with him in, being involved with the CIA and Honduras and El Salvador and like all these things with drug trade and like with the Colombians as well. There's room for them to do that there. That would be wishful thinking for me. But as far as a prediction, in the meantime, I could see Amado having a Narcos. Maybe if they were to stay with the Narcos Mexico, that could be one thing. But if they want to span out to some other area, Narcos Los Angeles. So if you guys are watching, if you producers are watching, please, Narcos Los Angeles, 1986.
Liz, what's your prediction?
I have a few predictions. I feel like it's obvious the Plazas are going to, you know, end up going at each other's throats. I see the Sinaloan cartel at least getting the upper hand with overthrowing the TJ cartel and the Ciudad Juarez cartel. I can see it happening because they're the ones that, you know, have the, you know, the most gun action, the ones that are brave, considered to be. So I feel like they're going to overthrow them, and then you're going to see the rise of El Chapo, hopefully. Also, I think with Teresa Ruiz's character, Isabella, I feel like she's now going to stop, hopefully, because, I mean, she already got even, you know, you see her getting locked up, too, or arrested, and, you know, they kill her men. So I definitely see her finally, you know, leaving the cartel scene. And as far as Felix, I see him coming back, hopefully for a good scene or two.
So here's the thing with Felix. So Diego Luna plays Felix. So this kind of goes into my predictions. He is, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd and fan, and he actually played Cassian Andor in Rogue One. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because there is a prequel series with Cassian that's been announced. We, from what we've heard, it's coming out in 2021, so I don't know when, that date is not finalized or anything, that's just what people are speculating. So my thought is, okay, well, in terms of my predictions and in terms of Diego Luna being back for season 3, I'm wondering if that might conflict with his production schedule for the prequel series for Cassian Andor. So I'm almost wondering, what I'd love to see, though, if Diego Luna does make it back on, is that we get more scenes with him being in the jail with Breslin, because I felt very unsettled by that final scene. And I could see this, since Breslin is fiction anyway, I could see this being a thing where Breslin keeps going back and keeps trying to get more information, and that maybe one day Felix tells him, maybe. So that's kind of where I'm seeing that. I also am curious about Ramon, because one of the things, and this is kind of a real spoiler, so if you know, I'll just say it, though, because it's not on the show, or we don't know if it's on the show. Ramon, who's part of the Felix family, is actually killed by a Sinaloan. So I thought that's how they were going to end this season, with his death. So that's still in the back of my head, like, okay, next season for 3, we'd get more of the fight between the Sinaloans and the Felix family, which would end up resulting in Ramon's death. And so I'm predicting that we're going to see more of that, too. So, all right. That wraps up our episode. Rob, where can everybody find you?
On Instagram at Rob Stilo. That's STEELO.
And at Instagram California.
Awesome. And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. If you're a fan of Outlander, Stumptown, or Curb Your Enthusiasm, or Retro Anatomy of a Movie, I am on those shows for the AfterBuzz panels. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this episode and for all the other episodes. Have a wonderful week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.